to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland as we continue with our hot stove shows, the offseason for the Tribe continuing, and a busy week in baseball and for the Indians to some extent as well, as they made it official, signing Mike Napoli to a one-year free agent contract. We will hear from the Tribe's new first baseman and right-handed power hitter a little bit later on in our show. We'll also visit with Chris Antonetti, the Tribe president of baseball operations, as he fills us in not only on the official Napoli signing, but also the reasoning behind some of the moves so far this offseason and where the Indians see themselves at this point in the offseason and what remains to be done. So good visit from Chris coming up as well. We'll hear from Terry Francona. He stopped by on Nick Camino's Hot Stove radio show earlier this week, and Nick and Terry will talk about the offseason so far and what's to come in spring training. And we will also check in with Paul Hoynes, the longtime beat reporter for the Plain Dealer and now Cleveland.com. Hoynesy with a Hall of Fame vote. And we'll talk about the Hall of Fame voting this past season. And it involved Ken Griffey Jr. being elected to the Hall with the highest percentage in history. And Mike Piazza also selected to baseball's Hall of Fame earlier this week as well, but we'll talk to Hoynesy about those who made it, those who didn't, and the process behind it. So a lot to get to this week, a loaded show for Tribe Talk this week. Great to have you with us talking baseball, and we will be back as Tribe Talk gets rolling after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Great to have you with us talking baseball during the off season here. The weather expected to take a turn for the cold next week. So, yes, it will feel like a little bit more like winter in Northeast Ohio compared to what we've had for the majority of this baseball off season. The Indians continuing to try and add to their ball club, and they made it official this week, the signing of first baseman and a designated hitter, but a right-handed power bat, and the name of Mike Napoli, longtime major leaguer with time in Texas and also Boston, and then back to Texas at the tail end of this season. Broke in with the Angels a while back, now 34 years of age, coming off an up-and-down season a year ago that saw him finish strong down the stretch with the Rangers, and the Indians signing him to a free agent deal earlier this week, making that official. Indians president of baseball operations, Chris Antonetti, joined us earlier this week, and he filled us in on why Mike Napoli is a good fit for this ball club.
Well, one of the things we tried to do at the outset of the offseason, Rosie, was find a way to improve on the group of position players we have to hopefully deepen our lineup and also complement with some right-handed hitters. And we feel with adding Mike Napoli and Rajay Davis earlier, we've been able to do that without compromising or sacrificing another area of our team, specifically our starting pitching. So Mike's a guy that's got a great track record. He's a very patient hitter, has a lot of power, has been very productive against left-handed pitching. We think he fits very well on our team and also in the field because he's worked really hard to become a good defender to the point where he actually got some gold glove votes last year. So we think it's a guy that helps us offensively. He helps us defensively. He's got great baseball IQ. He's into the game. He's got good baseball instincts. He's a great guy in the clubhouse. So he just fits us so well in a lot of ways.
You mentioned all these attributes. I know you have to be very selective when you're going after free agents on who you bring in here. Where does that begin? Who do you lean on to really get a good read on a player?
Well, we try to tap into all of our resources to find out who the best fits are, whether that's our, you know, our scouts, our player development staff, our analysts, whoever it might be, to kind of get that whole group and then really group available players and then really narrow down on who are the guys that are the best fits for us, who are the guys that are the best fits for our roster, who are the best fits for our organizational culture.
And you look at your young core, who really took a step forward, the Brantley, Kipnis, Gomes, in terms of leadership last year, but why is it still important to have a Mike Napoli or Rajay Davis come in here as veteran players?
Well, we believe our core is, in the midst of the prime of their career or entering the primes of their career. Some of them now have a little bit of playoff experience, but anytime you can add to that group and find guys that have some other experiences, and both Rajay and Mike have had postseason experience, so they bring that element to us, and they've just been through the grind of the major leagues and have experienced a lot of different things, and their perspective can help guys at different points in time and help the team, whether it's help an individual guy get through a period of time where he struggled and, you know, maybe one of the veteran players can provide some counsel to help him get out of it, or just to provide the consistency throughout the course of the season. There's a lot of things that veterans provide because they've been through it that maybe some of the younger guys haven't experienced.
Chris Antonetti joining us. You mentioned trying to fill out the roster in terms of enhancing it offensively, but bullpen-wise, maybe it's because of when it happened over the holidays, that type of thing, but you've added a lot of pitching, veteran pitching, and what can you tell us about what you've added and how important you think it may be in the end?
Well, in addition to adding to our offense, one of our other goals this offseason was improving on the options that we had in the bullpen. We wanted to try to fortify the group of guys that we've had. And so we were able to, both through a couple of small trades and also through some minor league contracts, bring in some guys that have had success in the past that we feel could potentially contribute to our bullpen and should provide some great competition coming into camp. So from the right side, we made a trade for Danny Otero, a right-handed ground ball specialist that had a lot of success with Oakland, was one of the better pitchers, relief pitchers in the American League in 2014, had a little bit of a down year in 2015. We think there's reason to think he'll be better this year, so he'll come in to compete for a spot. We've made a couple of waiver claims, that guys that will come into that mix, and then we've signed a group of non-roster reliever left-handed pitchers in Joe Thatcher, Tom Gorzolani, and Ross Detweiler that have all had some degree of success against left-handed hitters, and that group will come into camp and hopefully give us some quality alternatives from which to choose for our opening day roster.
And you get through, at least to this point, without giving up any starting pitching. And gosh, winter meetings, it sounded like something was imminent, and I know it probably is a lot different in your room, but what turns it and makes it so important to hang on to that pitching and see if you can do some things without letting go of any of these young pitchers?
Well, our preference all along was to continue to hold on to our starting pitching and to try to find ways to improve our team in other ways, whether that was signing through free agents or even trading some prospects who weren't yet at the major league level for established major league players. And we pursued a lot of those things. Fortunately, we were able to get Mike Napoli and Rajay Davis done, as well as some of the other complementary moves that didn't necessitate us trading our starting pitching. I think I've mentioned this at different points in the past. I think it's been reinforced for us as we listen to other teams and their interest in our players is how valuable and what other teams think about our starting pitching, and that it's not just three or four guys, but it really goes 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 pitchers deep within our system that other teams value. So that provides us a degree of confidence that we're not overvaluing our own players. Many others in the industry see it the same way, and hopefully we go into the season with not only a great quality of starting pitching alternatives, but good depth as well, because one of the important things of getting through a season successfully is to have 8, 9, or 10 starting pitchers that can come up and pitch in meaningful innings and give you a chance to win some games.
That's Chris Antonetti, Indians president of baseball operations. And when we come back, we'll hear from Mike Napoli. He'll tell us why the Indians were his choice to play ball in 2016. That's next as we continue with Tribe Talk from Progressive Field on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Don't forget, put it on your calendar if you haven't made plans yet. January the 30th, Tribe Fest returns, presented by KeyBank. Although this year it will not be held here at Progressive Field due to the renovation project going on behind home plate and in that area. Those preparations still continuing, so
It takes away a lot of the space that had been used for TribeFest in the past. So this year, the event moves to the Aloft Hotel downtown in the Flats on the East Bank. Great spot. Sure to be a lot of fun. A little bit smaller venue, though, so make sure you pick up your tickets early. You can do so. General admission tickets, $5 for adults and kids. It gets you in the door, and you can pick them up at Indians.com/TribeFest, and you can also pick up your autograph tickets as well, as there'll be a lot of the players from the current team on hand, including Corey Kluber, Jason Kipnis, Jan Gomes, Frankie Lindor, Lonnie Chisenhall, among others. Also, on the alumni front, just announced this week, Mike Hargrove, Carlos Baerga, Ellis Burks, and Jarrett Wright will all be here as a part of TribeFest presented by KeyBank, January the 30th, down at the Aloft in the Flats. So a good time to be had. Go to Indians.com/TribeFest for all the information. And maybe, just maybe a part of it, not confirmed as yet, the newest Cleveland Indian officially signed earlier this week, Mike Napoli, longtime major leaguer, now 34 years of age, good veteran that the Indians have added to their ball club. He'll swing the bat with power from the right side, play a lot of first base. And when we visited with Mike Napoli earlier this week, he explained why the Indians were the choice for him to continue his major league career.
You know, looking at the roster and seeing that pitching staff definitely, intrigued me. I've had some history with Ty Van Berkelo, when I was younger in the Angels organization. We had a really good relationship. I learned a lot from him, and being able to talk to Tito, hearing things about him, one of my best friends is Dustin Pedroia. So anything that comes out of his mouth, I take to heart, and he had nothing but great things to say about Tito. So I thought it's a great opportunity for me to be able to play every day and be out there and play the game.
And you mentioned that, and when you've had that opportunity, you've been able to put up some numbers. And what are you doing this off season to make sure that you can be out there as often as possible?
Yeah, I had an off season last year to where I couldn't really do too much. I had a surgery for sleep apnea. I had toe surgery, so there's a lot of things going on my last off season to where I didn't really get to work out until I got to spring training. But I've been healthy. I was a lot healthy all last year. Came into this off season to where I was able to get back into my routine to where I had my off season workouts and being able to run and lift, how I wanted to and be able to hit. So, I feel great, being able to do all those things, and I'm healthy and getting strong every day. So I'm pretty excited and looking forward to it.
And I know one of the things that Chris Antonetti had mentioned was not only the contributions at the plate, but you've become a very good defensive first baseman. And we saw you earlier in your career, you were a catcher by trade. And how have you managed to really catch up and make that transition a very smooth one to first base from spending most of your career behind the plate prior to that?
Yeah, I got to give a lot of credit to being able to work with Brian Butterfield. It was being able to go, from behind the plate to first. I had the mentality of just, knocking the ball down and flipping it to the pitcher. But being able to work with Butterfield, I learned a lot from him. And I put in a lot of hard work. I take pride in defense and being able to be out there and stopping runs from scoring and doing anything I can. So I'll continue to work hard at it and try to get better every day. So, the transition actually went pretty smooth. I got to play some of the infield when I was younger in the minor leagues and stuff. So it wasn't like I was going out there and was the first time I was putting on a first baseman glove. So the transition went pretty good.
Mike Napoli joining us, signed to a free agent contract officially earlier this week. And getting back to your relationship with Ty Van Berkelo, and you mentioned working with him when you were a young player coming up through the Angels system. And talk about that dynamic and what it can mean to have someone that you have some success with and can fill you in on some things that are really helpful in terms of hitting.
I mean, I think it's a lot to do is the trust that you have, you know. I mean, I trust everything he says, and I believe in the things that, you know, he teaches and he believes in. So just being able to come up through the minor leagues, you know, learning from him and some of the stuff he taught me, and being able to comprehend the stuff he says is huge. So it definitely had a big part of, you know, my decision to be able to go and work with him again. So it's just that trust factor of having that, you know, you can go to him and he can help you out.
You mentioned earlier as well that at least having a chance to talk to Terry Francona, get some recommendations from others who played for him. How about current players on this Indians team? Do you have much familiarity with them?
I mean, just across the field. I got, when I went out for my physical, I got to meet, you know, a couple of the guys, and yeah, I mean, I really don't know too many of them, but I'm pretty sure, you know, getting to spring training, you know, I'm a people person, and looking forward to meeting all the guys. It's going to be a fun time, and just looking forward to it.
I know the Indians looking forward to having you here. Mike Napoli, thanks so much for coming by today. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Mike Napoli, expected to be a big part of the Indians lineup this coming season. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nick Camino, our good friend who hosts Indians Hot Stove weekly, and he had a chance to catch up with Terry Francona earlier this week. We'll hear from the Tribe manager when we return after this timeout on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you at Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. If you like Tribe Talk, but that 1 hour of baseball talk on the radio a week is not enough for you, we invite you to tune in to Hot Stove Weekly, hosted by our good friend Nick Camino, and it's on many of these same Indians Radio Network stations, and that's usually early in the week, and we certainly invite you to listen in again this Monday night. The show's on this coming Monday night from 8 until 9. Last week's show, Nick caught up with Tribe manager Terry Francona, kind of a catch-up midway through the offseason to get some of his thoughts on the moves that the Indians have made. And in their discussion, Tito talked about the addition of Mike Napoli and the role that he may fill with the ball club.
Hey, Terry, listen, really appreciate the time.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Doing very well. Doing very well. It's good to hear your voice. Let me take a guess at your off-season plans thus far, maybe what it's consisted of. Warm weather and Arizona Wildcats basketball games. Is that a safe bet?
You are. You might not have it in the right order. Yeah, I think everybody that knows me knows how crazy I am about that team. And I go to as many games as I can. And the other one, you're right, is, you know, trying to stay in Tucson as much as I can and sucking up the nice weather, because it sure makes you feel good.
Okay, I guess we could start with the news of the day. I think this would make the most sense. We found out earlier today that the Tribe officially signed Mike Napoli to a one-year deal. Terry, I'm not going to ask you to sit here and fill out a lineup card, but how do you see him sort of fitting in for your team? What role is he going to have, and what does he bring to you guys?
Well, I mean, the hope is he brings a lot. And what we do know is, you know, really good teammate, really good kind of a grinder-type player that, you know, it's almost like the more he gets beat up, you know, the better, the more he likes to compete. And he's got big, broad shoulders, and he's been on winning teams. He's made himself a really good first baseman. I don't know that it came naturally right away, but he worked so hard at it that he's become really good. So, you know, between he, Carlos, you know, it gives us the ability to kind of maneuver the lineup and have, you know, whether Carlos is playing first or DH or who knows, maybe somewhere else, you know, it gives us a chance to always have the platoon advantage. And, you know, it gives us that right-handed power that's really hard to find. You know, my guess is against lefties, we'll probably hit him up higher in the order. If we need to against righties, we can always, you know, kind of adjust it a little bit. But, you know, those are things that will play themselves out as players, you know, as you get into the season and you see how guys are doing. But he's a really good guy. We needed a bat kind of in the middle of the order. and they're hard to find. And I thought Chris did a great job of going out and finding it.
We mentioned Napoli. You guys also added Rajai Davis to help the outfield depth, a couple of lefties for the bullpen, some other outfield options also. I mean, what have you made of the offseason thus far and how you guys have been able to try and improve this ball club?
You know, in this day and age, trying to add, whether it's pitching or anything, you know, we've all seen how costly it is. And I thought Chris and his guys did a really good job of attacking the guys that we wanted and then being persistent enough to get it done. I mean, even like, you know, Rajai Davis was probably the guy that when the season was over, he was probably at the top of my list. And that doesn't mean he's the best player in the league. I don't mean that, but just knowing what we needed and maybe, you know, what we could get done, I thought he would be a really good fit. And Chris stayed at it long enough to get it done. Same thing with Napoli. It's such a good fit, both of them, on so many different fronts. And then, you know, we really wanted to add a lefty or two in our bullpen, and to go out and get the three veteran guys on non-roster deals. You know, you got to figure that. I mean, hopefully all three of them, but you got to figure one or two will come in and show that they can spin the ball and throw strikes and get a lefty out, and that'll really help our righties out the bullpen.
Terry Francona is our guest. You're listening to Indians Hot Stove Weekly, your one-hour baseball fix each week here all along the Indians Radio Network. Terry, I know that you addressed this already earlier in the offseason, but gosh, you talked about the passionate fans. I hear from them here on the radio, and a lot of people just been yelling and asking, you know, I like Todd Frazier so much, the former Reds third baseman now with the Chicago White Sox. Any insight that you could help us with to sort of explain as to why the Indians were not able to land a guy like that? Was the asking price just way too high?
Well, you know, the one thing I need to be careful of is when you start talking about other players, you know, with other teams, it gets a little tricky. I guess the best way I can answer it is, you know, our affinity for him is probably every bit as what you think. I mean, I love this kid. I see him out in spring training all the time because they share the complex with us. He's a baseball player, and he's one of the best third basemen in the league. And I guess the easiest way to put it was what was asked of us, none of us were comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't make a team trade with you. You know, if they like the other team's players better, that's their right. And I just know what the asking price was, and it made me queasy. And this is coming from a guy that really thinks a lot of him. But what we were asked to give up, to me, didn't make sense. And if it didn't make sense to me, you can probably imagine how Chris felt about it, because his job is more, you know, being the caretaker of the organization. And it those things, it would have been awesome, but I wasn't comfortable, and I know Chris wasn't, and so you move on.
What's the latest you've heard on Michael Brantley, Tito? He's recovering from the shoulder surgery. Any sort of timetable that you've heard on him maybe could provide a little more clarity right now?
Well, I mean, I think the clarity is that he's right on track with what they said all along. And I don't think it's fair to Michael to kind of put a date on it, because then if he's, you know, a week later, everybody will be like, well, what happened? You know, he's doing a great job, which is not surprising. Everything he does, he does professionally. He does it good. He'll be back the minute he can be back, and he'll be just fine. You know, we're going to miss him like crazy because he's really good. But the idea that he's going to be coming back sooner rather than later is really good news for us. And the fact that he's not going to be hampered by, you know, trying to protect his shoulder, he'll rehab it to the point where it's strong and it'll be good, and he'll be the same player he's always been.
All right, we'll leave you with this, and we really appreciate the time tonight, Terry. We're talking with Indians manager Terry Francona here on Indians Hot Stove Weekly. A lot of people excited about baseball starting. It's the start of warm weather. They love it. Your club in general, just a general question. I know you have yet to even meet some of these guys when you get to spring training, but when you look at it, do you go in? I know you've always said you're not going to go into something doing it kind of, you know, half speed. You're going 100 miles an hour. Do you feel like going into this upcoming year, knowing the pitching you have, the foundation of guys, that you guys have a realistic shot to win the AL Central?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. But again, I don't think talking about it is going to get it done for us. I think maybe the way we struggled last year out of the gate kind of proved to everybody that, you know, when we play good, we can be good. When we don't, we get beat. And you know, we may not have some wiggle room that maybe some other teams have that had their, that maybe score more runs than us. But we have a lot of good pitching. We have, we're catching the ball so much better. And I think our guys understand that if we play the game right, we have a chance to win. And I'm okay with that. I actually kind of like it. I just, you know, we just have to get ready to play and then be, you know, pick up our consistency level and try to keep that at a high level for a long year. You know, that's hard to do. It's not impossible by any means. And that's our challenge, and we're looking forward to it. We're not going to back off of that.
All right, Terry, listen, really appreciate the time. Always fun to catch up with you. We'll see you at spring training, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Nick. Happy New Year. I'll see you soon.
That's Indians manager Terry Francona, along with Nick Camino, the host of Hot Stove Weekly. Again, another hour-long show. If Tribe Talk's not enough for you for the Hot Stove news during the offseason and some baseball talk on the radio, we certainly invite you to join Nick and Hot Stove Weekly on many of these same Indians Radio Network stations as he's on the air this week, Monday night, from 8 until 9. Now stay tuned. We'll continue with our conclusion of Tribe Talk after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field for our final segment on this week's show. And this week, earlier in the week on Wednesday, the Hall of Fame voting results were announced by the Baseball Writers Association of America and selected to this year's class of the Baseball Hall of Fame, Ken Griffey Jr., one of the more prolific home run hitters of his era, 99.3% of the vote going Griffey's way, the highest percentage in history. Also going in, catcher Mike Piazza, long career with the Dodgers and then the Mets, and certainly someone who was an unlikely Hall of Famer as he was drafted in the Netherlands of the baseball draft, way down in the upper rounds of the draft, but he made it big as a high round or a low round draft pick, we should say. And Mike Piazza going into the Hall along with Ken Griffey Jr. Some of those who did not make it but received heavy consideration: Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Trevor Hoffman, and Billy Wagner. Those two brilliant closers during their careers. And those under the suspicion of PEDs, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, made a little more headway, gaining a greater percentage this year, but still not enough to get into the Hall of Fame. And we had a chance to catch up with Paul Hoynes earlier this week. Hoynesy, the longtime beat reporter for the Indians with the Plain Dealer and also now Cleveland.com, more online components to that. But Hoynes has been voting for the Hall of Fame for more than 20 years, and it was easy at the top with Griffey, not so easy elsewhere. When we caught up with Hoynesy earlier this week, he talked about the challenges of voting for baseball's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's always fun to vote on the Hall of Fame, Rosie. It's an honor, but it is challenging, especially, you know, with so many players from the steroid era on the ballot. It's really you've almost become judge, jury, and executioner. You're the moral police, and I don't think any of the baseball writers originally wanted to do that, but we're kind of stuck with that.
And what's your view on it? Because I know it really varies from writer to writer how they see it. What do you see in terms of those who have been implicated or at least talked about in terms of the PEDs?
Yeah, it's a tough call, Rosie. But I usually don't vote for the steroid guys. I don't vote for Bonds or Clemens, the Sosa. I know a lot of them played before testing, and I don't think any of those guys ever tested positive or were caught, you know, tested, made a positive test. But, I think, obviously, I think they altered their bodies, and I think they knew it was wrong. If they didn't think it was wrong, they would have been, you know, sticking needles in their rear end right in the middle of the locker room, and that certainly wasn't the case.
Now, why do you think it's changed a little bit? Because Clemens and Bonds both have got a little bit more in terms of support this year. Why do you think some writers have changed their view as time has gone by?
You know, I think I think some voters have softened their stance, you know, as you said, as time goes by. because you change your views from year to year. I think people are viewing it now maybe that steroid use was so rampant during that era that so many people were doing it that the field was level. I don't particularly believe that. I also think Clemens and Bonds vote totals received a bump this year because the Hall of Fame passed a rule this past year in which writers that had been removed from the game for 10 years that Hall of Fame writers that had qualified to vote for the Hall of Fame can no longer vote. So I think that put a there's a younger voting base now, people that aren't so so concerned about steroids and their effects on the game's records. I think that probably gave them a little boost.
Paul Hoynes joining us, longtime Indians beat writer and Hall of Fame voter, and on to the good stuff. Ken Griffey Jr. going in with a record amount of votes and percentage wise, and when you look at him, absolute no brainer in your opinion.
Oh yeah, that was the easiest pick on the ballot, and he gets 437 votes out of 440. And I'd like to see the three guys that didn't vote for him. I mean, I don't know what their criteria for a first ballot Hall of Famer is, but they've set the bar pretty high.
And when you look back at his career, my goodness, we just got done talking about performance-enhancing drugs, and he seemed to be the 180 degrees away from that. And I think it showed late in his career. He aged like you're supposed to, it seemed like.
Yeah, after he had the 10, 11 great years in Seattle, he went home to Cincinnati and, still a very good player, but wasn't a great player. And I think you saw the injuries catch up to him. And, that's the way it's supposed to go. That's the way athletes usually age. And, we've seen it unfortunately, we've seen it the other way around in baseball as well. Rosie, to me, he was the best all around player I've ever seen. I just offensively, defensively, arm, speed. It was just so much fun to watch him play. I didn't see Babe Ruth or Ty Cobb or any of those guys. But if this guy doesn't get every vote that's out there, I mean, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the people that didn't vote for him.
Thank you for clarifying that you did not see those other guys, just in case people were wondering. So Mike Piazza was the other one who went in. And when you look at some of the new players who will be on the ballot next year, I think the most intriguing name for Tribe fans, Manny Ramirez, who enters the balloting next year. Will he get lumped right in there with Clemens and Bonds, no question?
Yeah, I mean, this guy he's been found guilty twice. I mean, there's really no one is, Clemens and Bonds haven't been found guilty. I mean, there's a lot of innuendo, a lot of smoke and around their names from the steroid era. But Manny was, tested positive at least twice. And, I could just, I love Manny. I covered him when he broke into the big leagues. I thought he's probably the best right-handed hitter I've ever seen. And it just boggles my mind that he would do that. I'd like to just hit him on the back of the head. Just why? Especially at the end of your career, you've accomplished all you've accomplished, and then he tested positive. So just, but Rosie, I'm thinking, I was thinking another way that maybe, if Manny did get caught, he served his time. Maybe that'll, I don't know, in the view of some voters, maybe that'll sway them to vote for him. I mean, what did he hit? 555 home runs, over a 300 hitter lifetime, and World Series MVP. I mean, what a great player, but geez, oh man,
Manny being Manny.
It's just frustrating. It really frustrates me.
Yeah.
It probably frustrates me more than it frustrates Manny.
you could make a case for that. A couple of other former Indians, I think people discuss sometimes, and their time has come and gone, especially Kenny Lofton. Because of that rule of 10, you can only vote for 10. It seems like that hurt his cause in terms of the amount of time he was on the ballot. Could he have, if there was not that limitation of the amount of players you could have voted for in one particular season, could he have hung around a little bit longer on the ballot and maybe gained some support because of the career that he had?
Yeah, I sure wish he. I think, you know, in talking to Kenny, he's still bitter to this day. I think, you know, he came on the ballot with Bonds and Clemens and really kind of got overlooked in the backwash of, you know, all the steroid guys and a crowded ballot. And he was one and done, you know. He didn't get the necessary 5% to stay on the ballot. And it's just, you know, when you look at his numbers compared to Jimmy Raines, you know, Raines is, you know, obviously, you know, a little better, you know, a little better leadoff hitter. But, you know, Kenny is right there. And I think, you know, haven't seen him play for so long. To me, he's a Hall of Fame type player, and I just wish you know, he could have stayed on the ballot longer. Maybe you know, the Veterans Committee will consider him, because he certainly was, you know, an elite player and just a great guy to watch. You know, just he did everything.
And with Albert Bell, just too short a career due to injuries.
Well, you know, I. Albert Bell and me did not get along.
And, maybe you're the wrong guy to ask.
and that was you know, I wasn't alone in the process, and I think that really hurt Albert, because if you look at his career, I mean, he had like 7, 8, or 9 years where, you know, consecutive years where he was the most dominant hitter in baseball. You know, I think, you know, that obviously the hip injury with Baltimore hurt him, but I think, you know, I regret not voting for him. By the time he left the Indians, I had such a negative feeling toward him that I let my personal feelings, you know, kind of cloud my judgment when his name was on the ballot. And, that's the first and only time that's ever happened. And I've always regretted that. And I think, you know, if he gets a second look at the Veterans Committee, I think he'll get some strong consideration. But, you know, I just, you know, he was a tough guy to cover.
Well, I'll tell you, it's the Hall of Fame time is certainly the time for great discussion about some very good players, some of the best in the game, and certainly this year with Ken Griffey Jr. going in with almost a unanimous vote, that holds true, and Mike Piazza going in as well. And Hoynsie, thanks so much for shedding some light on the process a little bit and your thoughts on it. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rosie.
That's Paul Hoynes from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, longtime beat reporter for the Plain Dealer and now Cleveland.com, talking about the election process for the Baseball Hall of Fame 2016, Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza to be inducted this coming July in Cooperstown. That's going to do it for this edition of Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us. Hope you can tune in once again next week when we join you once again with Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.